Good to be in his house, amen. You know, I am amazed at those. Sometimes it's various reasons, but how many places might would call off worship? It'd be like saying, well, we're going to celebrate Brother Hayward's birthday, and he ain't going to be there. And that's kind of what it's like when they, well, it's Christmas time, we're going to celebrate Christmas, we're going to call off church. So we don't want to do that, amen. We want to worship him. Worship him. You know, those men and women that came to worship him, they didn't get in air-conditioned cars that go down the road. Is that a trumpet I hear? So, we got... Somebody's putting, we got taps going. But good to be in his house, amen. I pray that God's going to bless you and put his hand on your heart and life, amen, in this time of rejoicing. We've got a lot to praise him for. And,
that's right, brother.
And so many times we forget about the trouble God went to. Not that God's had a hard day's work, amen. He speaks the word. But the things, the events concerning the Lord's birth, we're going to look at a couple of them, and how we see it. Men cannot outsmart God. They can't outthink him. Their wit's not there. Their ability's not there. We're created of him, and we can never trick him or fool him or out-connive him. We can't do that. It's impossible. And so when we think we can, about the time we think we can, God hems us up, doesn't he? And so that's country boy talk, but some of you still remember what that means when we get hemmed up by the Holy Ghost. And so I remember the event God used. I wouldn't tell you about it. Right now, I wouldn't tell you about it because, you know, it's not anything, you know, that you really want to talk about. But I remember the event God used to hem me up. And boy, when he hemmed me up good. Amen. And so Jacob, remember Jacob, over in, I think it's the 32nd chapter of Genesis, where he's wrestling with God. You know what happened? God hemmed him up, and he asked God to turn. He wanted God to bless him. He needed God's blessing, and so he's wrestling with the angel of God. That was a literal wrestling. You say, well, that was a spiritual overtone. No, he was wrestling, brother. I promise you, when Jacob got up the next morning, he felt like he'd rode a bull. And so here he is. He stayed with God, and he said, I won't turn you loose till you bless me. Amen. He wanted the blessing. Oh, he prayed for the blessing of God. He needed it. He knew he needed it. And I tell you, we need it today too, church. We need the blessing of God on your life. And I don't know what you're thinking about. I understand today, you know, everybody's thinking about Christ's birth. And you're going to have your family time and your exchange. And that's all wonderful. That's all great. But I tell you, it's a week away. We're going to be thinking about what we want to change next year. That's just a week from today, by the way. And it's not too early. While God is softening your heart and speaking to it about all of these real events that we're celebrating today, while he's doing that, amen, it's a good time to get a head start on what you might want to commit to God next week, amen, when we all are looking at our New Year's resolutions, amen. But if you got your Bible, look over to Matthew chapter number 2. We'll begin reading right there because it's just hard. It's hard to take and put the perspectives. You know, so many times you never get to this kind of thing outside of your daily reading. You'll run across it. If you read the Word of God, you'll come through there and read it. And in church, there's so many other things to talk about. And sometimes we forget about, we know what God's doing in Mary's life, but Joseph doesn't know what God's doing in Mary's life. And so we have to remember this. Sometimes it's dealing with the unknown. And this is where we find Joseph right here in Matthew. In order to begin reading in chapter, watch now, in verse number 21. Let's begin reading in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I love it when God tells them what to name them, don't you? Oh, yeah. You say, well, I don't think God's really concerned about his life or my life or your life. Well, you watch how many times he named those young'uns before they got there. And God tells them what to call them. And so we see this. This is no exception to this in Matthew chapter 1. And so he knows what he's going to name him. And if you watch that, the type is in all caps, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's going to do, he's going to save them from their sins. Amen. That's the gift. And so sometimes people, you know, we think the gift is something else. It's something monetary or it's something physical we can put our hands on. But I tell you, the gift of God is a spiritual gift. God works in the spiritual. He heals in the physical, doesn't he? He heals there, but he works in the spiritual. And we're going to see this. And so watch now. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, watch this reference to Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want to tell you, if that don't make you want to do a shout on the inside, amen, then there's something going on. God with us. You know why God shows up in our presence? You know why he comes by and visits with us sometimes in the sanctuary and sometimes in our private place of prayer? God shows up sometimes we're going down the road. He speaks a verse to your heart. And God dwells at it. Now the joy of God's flowing there. You know why? Because it's God with us. It's not some God made with hands. It's not a trinket. It's not something we can hang on the wall. It's God in you, the hope of glory, Paul said. It's Christ in you. That's what it is. And that's why he said his name is going to mean God with us. And he knew, watch verse 24, Joseph being raised from sleep did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. You know, two important words right there in the verse. He did. He did it. God put his hand on his life and he obeyed. When God gives somebody a commission, it's what he wants them to do. He wants them to go. If you don't go, he'd be, well, why are you still standing here? Well, I'm thinking about it. Well, thinking ain't doing, is it? And so the command, the military, I've never been in the military, but many of you have, law enforcement or whatever, National Guard, whatever branch or division, whatever you work, and you deal with it, with the thing of authority on a consistent basis, and this is what God's saying. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. Joseph is pondering on this thing. If you look back, we're going to go backward a little bit to the 18th verse. The reason he's doing the pondering, you say, well, what's to ponder? What's to ponder? The pondering part comes from the fact that he has not taken married a wife as of yet. And this has put something, it's put a cloud over his personal testimony, it's put not in other men's eyes, but in his own eyes. We're talking about self-reflection. In his self-reflection, he's embarrassed by this. He's never been in a place like this. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to bring you, some of you, he's going to bring you through places you've never been. And he's going to do that to test you. He's going to do that to be assured that you have a heart for him, that you have a heart of obedience. And God's going to put something on his hand on something in your life. Not always, but sometimes. He does that to see where we really are. Now, God knows where we are. He's not doing it that he knows. He's doing it that we may know where we really are. And here, watch this into verse 18. Of the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as Mary, his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. Here's what poses the problem. Mary's with child and they never came together. So Joseph's got some other ways of thinking now. He's wondering not only is what the Lord doing, what's God doing, but what's Mary doing? He's got more things to worry about. And so Joseph understands the integrity of his heart. He's never been with Mary, but she's with child. And this is why, this is what prompts God to speak to him later in that first chapter, to help him understand. And the word said, before that they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He was about to pull the cord on this whole thing of me and Mary having a future. He's thinking something's gone awry. He don't know what we're reading here in the text that we read first. He doesn't understand that God's put his hand on Mary and God's put his hand on him. And what is conceived in Mary is not of the general conception. Can we say it like that? And so what he's perceived of Mary is that Mary, in his mind, has stepped out. Mary's got out of line somewhere, and Mary has found herself in position that Joseph fully understands and the Holy Ghost understands, that he has never been with his engaged woman that he's going to marry one day, and he knows this is not his child. Don't know everything, but I know it ain't mine. And this is why God comes by in your darkest hour, in your most confused point, whatever it is, the thing that gives you the... let's set this aside for just a moment. What about the things we deal with in daily life that we don't comprehend, we don't understand, we can't explain? And it happens all the time. We get an ill report from the doctor, or we get some bad news from home, or whatever the case. Whatever's going on in our life, we don't know. This is what I want you to see today, church. We don't know what we don't know. That's right. And this is why we trust God. This is why we trust him. We trust him because he knows those things that we can't find out. Not right now. We'll find them out later. We'll know them all in the by and by. But right now, it's a point of trusting God. And this is where our faith gets tested. When we see, sometimes we say, well, we see it with our eye. We see it with the eye. We hear it with the ear. We know it's real. It's not a figment of the imagination. It's real. What he saw was a woman that he's engaged to that's getting bigger by the day.
Yeah.
It's real.
That's right.
And he's watching it. And so here, in the integrity of his heart, he is not willing to put her away. And so, pardon me, he was minded to do it, but to do it privately. And then while he thought on these things, sometimes we don't want to be hasty. He's meditating, praying, thinking, whatever you want to call it. While he thought on these things, he's listening. Sometimes it's be still. God said, be still and know that I am God. And so this is a moment when Joseph understands. We know why God used Joseph, because he had wisdom of heart, didn't he? And he had a love for the Lord. And he had a love for Mary. And he's got something in his life. Listen, this shows us something, church. Something you ought to see as a side note: when everything appears to be going wrong, does not mean it's a time to pull the plug out of the boat.
Yeah.
And so we find out later, it's be patient. It's that whole thing we just said of be still and know that God's God. And so here, he's thinking on these things, and God shows up. We read that into verse 21. God said she's going to bring forth a son. And so here, watch this. You want to see the integrity of his heart? As we find it, God brought this out in the verse 25. We read it a little bit ago. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. So he's weathered this storm, and God has appeared to him and showed it to him. And we see it right here. Do not know what Joseph's feeling in his heart, but we know he's anxious. And then God shows up. Look over. I want you to see something. If I can put my finger on it. Look over to. I want you to go with me to chapter 2. And I'm not going to read all of this text, but I want you to see this here. When they came to. It's not going to make sense if we don't. Let's read. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Herod's troubled because they're looking for another king. That's the problem. He's not troubled about folks coming from the east. He's not troubled about the other stuff. It's that whole thing about another king part. And so when he gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they that said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. This is the part that troubled Herod. Yeah. Herod didn't care about some lady having a child out of wedlock. He wasn't worried about what was going on down in Bethlehem, Judah. Yeah. That's not what's bothering him. What's bothering him is this other king part. Yeah. What's bothering him is he's hearing something about some new governor and being replaced and being ousted. And so we understand, let's don't forget that in that era, being a king, the cross hatch, or you somebody had you in their sights at some point in time, typically all the time. And so here he is, he's got the crosshairs, that's what I'm thinking about. He's got the crosshairs on him, and this other governor part, he's wondering, is there going to be a coup? Are they trying to oust him? He's not really thinking about Jesus right now. He's worried about Herod, and so he's hearing this thing, and when they had gathered and they told him, he asked those scribes and those chief priests, they know something about the word of God, although they were real good at twisting it and turning it into something it didn't say, yet they were still familiar with it. And so he's called them together, and so he demanded, watch now, he didn't inquire. No. Brother, do you feel the pressure that's upon Herod through that word? He's demanded, he's got to know about this new king business and this new governor thing, and it's going to have a direct effect on him. Tell you the gospel story of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth put pressure on a lot of people, didn't it? Put pressure on Joseph. Put pressure here. We see it in Herod's life. And he's trying to rustle folks up and get them together. And let's find out what the pieces of this puzzle is. And let's get it out there. Let's find out what's going on. And Herod, when he'd privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent to Bethlehem and said, go and search go and search diligently for the young child. You know what he wanted? He didn't want to give him a new bib. No. He wanted to put a dagger in the little kid's heart. That's what he wanted. But it wasn't just any little kid, was it? It was the King of Glory. The King of Glory came, born in a manger, reared of God, protected of God, because he was God. And so all of these things, and we have mortal men all around him trying to trick him, trying to kill him, trying to fool him, trying to make something of him that he's not. And so it's Christ in a manger, and it's Herod in trouble. He's in trouble. Why? Because he feels the pressure. He feels the heat, this new governor business. And so he said, go search and find him and bring me a word again so I can come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which was before them in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. You know what made the wise men wise men? You say, well, they had a lot of learning. They had a lot of formal education. They had a lot of biblical wisdom. Yeah, that's true. They had all that. But what made the wise men wise was the fact that they heard from God and they obeyed him. Listen, we can have doctorates, we can have bachelor degrees, we can have all kinds of stuff running out our ears of things we've learned. But until we learn, I'm going to tell you what made the wise men wise was that they listened to God. That's what. And you know what they done? They just done what John 2:5 said. Remember John 2:5? When Mary, same Mary we're talking about right now, when she said to those at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and they were talking about the water pots and the wine and the bad wine and the good wine and all these things, having a celebration there. And so we see it where she said Mary, the mother of Jesus, said in John 2:5, whatsoever, talking about Christ, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And do it was a great phrase. Do it was a great phrase before Nike got a hold of it. And you know what they done? They done what Jesus said. Whatsoever he saith unto you. They were puzzled about this. And what do you think, Mary? Whatsoever he saith unto you, just do it. Isn't that the call of God? That is the call of God, church. And so when God saved people, he sent them. He saved Abraham and he sent him. And Abraham went out. And we see it in Jacob's life. God put his hand on Jacob's life. Don't think that wrestling match was over in Genesis 32. It wasn't over. It's just beginning. Why? Because God put his hand on Jacob's life and he changed his name. I'm going to tell you how important Jacob was. He's so important, God gave him a new name. And you know what his new name was? We say today, oh, well, that's a little country that's just flailing along and doing the best they can. But I tell you, God gave Jacob a name, and he said, from henceforth thy name shall be Israel. That's your name. I want to tell you, God took Jacob's seed and he took all those boys and girls that God raised by him. And so let's don't leave Dinah out of that. That's right, all those sons and Dinah's daughter. And so what we find is God took all the seed of Israel and he chose them and he blessed them. And we still point to that little country over there today that's nestled between the oceans and those heathens and those atheists, if you will, and those Muslim worshipers. They're still abiding over there right where God put them. You know why? Because Jacob did what God said. Just like those men at the Cana of Galilee did what Jesus said. They obeyed him. And I've never found one time in God's word where somebody obeyed God and was disappointed. It might have been a little frightful, but they weren't disappointed. They wasn't afraid. They wasn't, worried. The fear right here we're talking about is resting in Herod's heart. Why? Because Herod has no idea what God's about to do, but God knows what he's going to do. And so here, he said, fellas, when y'all go find that star, you come back and tell me where you found it. I want to come worship him too. Which was not so, was it? No, he didn't want to worship him. All he heard, well, there's something about a king of the Jews. And as far as he's concerned, the Jews didn't need a new king because they were under Roman rule. And under Roman rule, Herod was the governor there. And so we find it that they had a form of worship that went up the political lines and ranks. And they didn't need that. That's what Herod's talking about. He didn't want to come worship him. He wanted to come put his grimy, greasy hands on Christ and kill him. But they couldn't find him because God is whispering in the ear of a young man who was just a little while ago pondering what to do, but he ain't pondering no more. No, God is whispering in his ear of what he'll do with his son. And there's nothing that Roman rulers could have done to got their hands on Christ. You say, well, that could have went bad, preacher. That could have went bad. No, it wasn't going to go bad. Because heaven has ordained it. It was God's will that Mary had a son. It was God's will that she named him Joseph. It was his will that he was conceived, watch now, of the Holy Ghost. And so here we find it, that all of these things, look into verse number 9. When they heard the king, this is a wise man, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Can I say something about that just for a moment? This thing is so divine, church. We sing these songs all the time. We sing them out of repetition. Sometimes we forget about great points. This thing is so wonderful. God has used the cosmos. And I'm not thinking that Joseph had to be one that studies the outer space. No. I'm thinking that God is leading them with this star so defined, so closely and carefully, they never missed one step. That star that led them, you know how sometimes on a clear night you look up and I don't know anything about these systems, as you can tell. I don't know anything about them. But sometimes it's pretty amazing to watch it. It's like, wow, why is that star? But no, this is a personal star. This is not an outer space star. It's a personal star to lead a personal figure to a personal place where God wants him. Let's not forget about it. We didn't take time to read this one. Maybe we did. But Joseph, a little while ago, was pondering on what to do. Do I just totally get out of this deal? Because, by the way, I'm not the papa. We've never went there. I know we've never went there. I know I'm not. Listen, Joseph's got his integrity. He's got his self-respect. He knows he's never been there, but she is there. And it's got to be, if I didn't do it, who did? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost worked in the life of Mary and visited her, and she's brought forth God's dear son. And see this, when they saw the star, verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they departed, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, you say, how did Joseph get away from the army of Herod? No doubt Herod would have dispatched however many men he needed to go find him. Flee into Egypt, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child. You want to talk about faith? Joseph, once again, he knows this young child's not his, but he also knows by now God's involved. And you know, sometimes church, you're going to say, I can't explain it. But oh, God's doing something. He's working. He's speaking. He's doing something. And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, as we're going to read, Herod's not a baby lover. Herod only cares about one fella in this event, and that's Herod. It's all he cares about is preserving his throne. We don't need a new king. We don't need another savior. I'm him. And so when Herod saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And then he talked about the passage that was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. That was already prophesied in God's word. Did not surprise the Lord one iota. God knew it. He prophesied it in his word. We read a lot of those things in the Old Testament that God said, and then he brings them to pass, sometimes hundreds of years, thousands of years later, but he brings them to pass. And this is what we want to get, church, in closing. I want you to see this. It took faith. It took faith. It took faith for Mary to be the willing recipient of what God told her. It took faith, didn't it? And it took faith for Joseph to come onto this scene. And God's speaking to him. I like that. God's working. Listen, church, you said, well, preacher, I don't know if God would work on the behalf of my soulmate or the half of my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter. I don't know if God could work on their behalf, but he can. He can. And listen, God can do two things at once. Amen. He can do a manifold thing. Of things at once. Why? Because he's God. So he's working in Joseph's life. He's speaking in Mary's life. And he's working in the lives of those. Listen, let's not forget those wise men that came and brought gifts. They heard it from the Spirit of God. God is working. I'm going to tell you, he can work in your home. He can work in your family. He can work in your life. God wants to work in your life. And all we need to figure out is how to obey him. We need to hear him. Watch this. Of all this, I'm going to wrap it up real quick right here in 30 seconds, I hope. Why? Because we need to see it. God worked it on Mary's behalf, Joseph's behalf, Herod's behalf. And we see it where God worked in the life of those wise men, and he used them, and everything God put his hand on was good. It was all good. And there was a lot of innocent youngsters that lost their life because of Herod's decree. And that's sad. But I tell you, God did what it took to get the glorious gift of the Savior to you and I. Amen. That we can be free. That we can enjoy the goodness of God. That we can know what it means to be saved. Saved for the glory of God. Amen. And as we go to God in prayer, let's ask him to work right now on our behalf. Father, we need you. We love you and praise you. God, we know there's nothing you won't do to get your will accomplished. God, we don't want to fight against your will. We want to be in your will. God, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear your tidings. We want to hear a word from God this brand new year. We want to know what you'd like us to do better, to do different. God, our commitment. Let us check our commitment while we're there in the place of prayer. Father God, I ask you to move and work and bless this church and this body and this work effort. Lord God, give us souls for our labor.
Yes.
Minister to those that are needy. God, wake them up and give them spiritual sight that they might see. God, do these things, we pray. Oh, bless every home and family here today as we celebrate your son. As we celebrate, God, the greatest gift of all time. And Lord, we pray that you'd move, Lord, in hearts and lives and soften. And God, we pray you'd quicken those that are outside of saving grace. Lord, bless us now, we pray, and we'll give you praise for all you do. And all God's church says, amen.
Amen.